Let us ask the Lord to bless the reading and the preaching of His Word to us this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word that You have given to us as light on our path. And we pray, O Lord, that You would bless Your Word to us, that You would grant us Your Spirit, that we would not just go through the outward motions of hearing You speak to us, but that we may have open hearts, that Your Word may take root in our hearts and grant us that which You would give to us in Your grace. We pray that You would be pleased to provide that which Your servant needs, that You would grant him Your Spirit to be used of You as Your mouthpiece for Your honor and glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Hebrews and also from Romans chapter 5. First of all, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, we'll start at verse 30 and read through chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 10, verse 30 through 11, 3. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's holy word. Hebrews 10, verse 30 and following. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Connection with our text, which is, as you see in the bulletin, chapter 11, the first part of verse 1. Let's also read from Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Continuing on in the reading of God's holy word. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. May the Lord bless the reading, the proclamation of His Word to us. Again, as I said, our text is Hebrews 11:1a. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters, friends and visitors, our theme this morning, as you see in the bulletin, is true God-given faith lives in a sure hope. I'm sure in one way or another, we all have had times where we struggle with a deep discouragement, so that we just want to give up. We want to give up hope. Maybe it's true of you here this morning. Maybe right now you're in the midst of something and you're tempted to give up hope. But also in the future, for all of us, when we become so weary and we are tempted to just give up. And be assured, if you are a true believer, it will happen. You will be attacked. You'll be attacked in one way or another, and you will be tempted to give up hope. And I pray that God, by His Word to us this morning, will give to us a grounding, especially for such a time. But also that by hearing God's Word this morning, we will praise Him. We will praise Him for the sure hope that we have as we are in Jesus Christ. As we come to our text, we should understand that the people to whom this letter was first written, and of course it was written to us too, but the first receivers of this letter, they were having a lot of hardships. And we read of that briefly in chapter 10. If you reflect on what we read in verses 32 and 33, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. It says, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. And often you'll read in Hebrews about the suffering that they were going through. And they were indeed in danger of kind of giving up their faith. As it says in chapter 10, verse 38, they were in danger of drawing back. And later in chapter 12, verses 12 and following, we didn't read that, but it talks about hands hanging down and being weak in the knees. They were discouraged and they were close to giving up in that discouragement. But you notice in verse 39 it says, but we are not of those who draw back. Why not? What would keep them from drawing back, from giving up? Well, verse 39 says, instead of drawing back, we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You see, they had true faith, and that grounded them so that they kept their hope alive. And that's what we see in our first point, that true faith is the ground or the basis for a sure hope. In order to talk about hope, we need to first of all think about faith. And remember that all people have faith. God made man that way. Man has to believe in something or someone. When you do something or you say something, you think something, or as this is true of your neighbor, your friend, whatever, always we do this out of a faith, out of what we believe. Man is religious, whether he knows it or not, or accepts it or not, he's religious. That is, he always has faith. And that faith is what you trust, what you have a conviction about, what you lean on. But also, faith is based on something. Always, faith is based on some knowledge, some truth. The idea of faith isn't that, you know, you're just believing apart from any kind of knowing. That's not faith. True faith, of course, is based on the truth with a capital T. And false faith is based on what the Bible calls the lie. Romans 1 teaches us that man knew the truth because God made him that way. But then in verse 25 of Romans 1 it says, man exchanged the truth for the lie. He exchanged the truth for the lie, it says. Not just for a lie, but for the lie. So you see, he has the truth, but in place of it, he made up the lie. And then he believed that the lie is the truth. And the point is that when man has a false faith, he still has faith. But his faith is based on false things, on false truths, on what God calls the lie. Now also, as we look at our text, we should see that we're not talking or looking at something here that is like a definition of faith. You know, as if faith equals the substance of things hoped for. In English, in the translation, it can easily sound that way because it does say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we can wrongly conclude that this is giving us a definition. But in fact, and as we go along, I trust you see this, this is telling us what faith does. Or how faith lives. See the flow of thought here that the Holy Spirit has. In Hebrews 10:38 it says, the just shall live by faith. And then in chapter 11 it goes on to explain how the just live by faith. And it starts off by saying faith is the substance of what we hope for. And that word substance, it's important we understand it to understand our text. The word substance is actually a very common Greek term that goes all the way back to, you know, the old Greek philosophers. But of course, God is the one who defines the words he uses. He tells us what his words mean. And in the Bible, as you study the use of this word substance, you find that it has the idea of confidence or a solid ground for something, like a foundation. Let me give just a few examples to show how substance, the word substance, is used in the Bible. In Psalm 69:2, for example. Psalm 69:2, I'll read them. Psalm 69:2 says, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. That's the word for substance, same word. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. In other words, I have nothing solid to hold me fast, to give me a foundation. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. That word hope there, that's the same word as substance. And in Hebrews 3:14 it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That word confidence, the same word as substance. If we hold the beginning of our substance, our confidence, steadfast to the end. And as we think all of this about faith, let's also remember, brothers and sisters, that faith is something which God gives. He gives it to all those whom He saves. A well-known verse, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. So that's an easy verse, Ephesians 2:8, to remind us that the faith that God gives us is given as a gift. It is given graciously. So, true faith is something that God gives. And that true faith that He gives is the substance, or the proof, the foundation, the grounding of our hope. In other words, without true faith, we have no sure hope. And let's look at that in our second point. Sure hope is the anchor for all we are, all we have, and all we will be. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? All we are, all we have, and all we'll be. Well, the point says that because there's actually one word for that phrase of things hoped for. And the form of that word shows that it includes literally everything. And yes, our point also talks about a sure hope. And here too, just like with faith, we all have hope in something. We all have hope of one kind or another. If you think about it, just about everything you do or say or think, it's in one way or another related to hope. You go to work in the hope of getting paid for it, or getting some kind of reward. You know, a silly thing like calling someone on the phone. You do that because you hope that there will be an answer and that they'll talk to you and so on. In fact, I can't think of anything that we do that we don't do in some kind of hope. And that's why if we completely give up hope, well, then we won't do anything. And we end up destroying ourselves. And that sadly also takes place. So yeah, on one hand, we're always hoping in something. But at the same time, we face the possibility that the things that we hope for, that they could be a waste to hope for that. I'm sure that we've all said at one time or another, I hoped for it for nothing. You know, I hoped in vain for that. Obviously, such a hope isn't a solid or a sure hope. Such a hope is, you know, like quicksand. It sucks you down and until it has you, it consumes you, you perish. And I'm sure you're aware that the Bible has a lot to say about such a false hope. Job 8:13 says, the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And there are many passages like that which tell us that there is a hope that is a waste, and it will fail. And we perish in that hope. And the reason is, as we saw in our first point, our hope can be based on a false faith. Because man believes the lie. So the connection is that lies equal a false faith, and then what we hope for will fail. But there is such a thing as a sure hope. absolutely certain. And the Holy Spirit, through the author of Hebrews, speaks of that earlier in chapter 6 of Hebrews. It tells us that God made a promise, and then to make it sure, God swore an oath. And then it says in Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, about that oath. It says that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. And then it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So you see, ultimately, if we have a sure hope, the things we hope for, they are based on God's promises. Not based on the amount of hope we can muster up. And they're sure and steadfast because God cannot lie. And it's exactly that is the reason why our hope is an anchor of our soul. An anchor. It's like we are in deep waters and yet we have something solid to rest on, stand on. You know that often in the Bible when believers have trials and troubles, Scripture uses terms like waves or high water to describe those trials. And of course it's when those high waters, those waves beat against us, that's when we need an anchor. Think of Psalm 93:4. It says, the Lord is high, on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Well, that's talking about the trials that believers face. And the Lord is mightier than death. Psalm 144:7 says, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters. And it's very clear, those are the great troubles that we experience. So you see, brothers and sisters, in our first point we saw that when we trust in God completely, this is the basis for a sure hope. And now we see that this sure hope is what anchors our soul. So that regardless of what trials we face, we have, if you will, something solid to stand on or to hang on to. Or that hangs on to us is probably a better, more biblical expression. Our scripture reading in Romans 5. In verse 5 it says, and we read it, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, hope is an anchor. And it won't disappoint. And the reason is not because of us. Rather, the reason is because God's Holy Spirit has been given to us. So that we have the foundation of hope, which is faith. So we are to be of good courage and know that the Lord will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 31:24. See, that's where our hope is, in God and His promises. So our point says that a sure hope is an anchor for everything in our lives. And obviously that includes also the troubles, the trials that we face. And you know well that the Psalms are full of the truth that a believer will face many trials and troubles. But in the midst of them, he still has hope. For example, Psalm 69:3 says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. And then listen, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Even going through the worst things, the psalmist says, I wait, and it's literally, I hope in my God. Psalm 33:18 says, Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Psalm 36:7, how precious is Your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings. When things are tough, when they're bad, hope in God's protection. Go under His wings. Romans 12:12 says, we are to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. In other words, when things are very hard and we suffer, then we are to rejoice in hope. That is, we have hope and our hope is in God. And then we can be patient as we endure those trials. Now, having heard this, we also need to see that God also shows us how this works out in life. And that's our third point. The examples from history of those who lived with such a hope. You know that chapter 11 of Hebrews is often called the chapter of the heroes of the faith. And we have to be a bit careful with that, because it's not as if, you know, here is a list of people who were, you know, kind of unusual, almost like super spiritual kind of people. So that, you know, they had such great faith, and that's how they could do these great things. Well, this is not heroes of the faith in that sense. Instead, it's really a description of sinful people who were saved by God and were given faith. And it was a true faith. And it was shown in how they lived. It moved them to live as they did. So we're not looking at these examples as if we should think, well, I should try to be like him. No, in a sense, that's humanism, where man is in center, where man is in charge, where it's all up to man. It's thinking, you know, like you often hear, if you want something bad enough, well, then you just have to go out there and get it. No. Instead, God gives us these examples. This is, as it says in chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews, the cloud of witnesses. God gives us this so that we would see what God works in the life of a sinful person so that they have a sure hope. So these examples are given to us to encourage us. So let's look at what God tells us about His work in a few of them, as they're listed in Hebrews 11. First of all, in verse 4 of Hebrews 11. This is about the history that God gave us in Genesis 4. It says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. You see, by God's grace to him, Abel offered or worshipped God in faith. Well, Cain too, he worshipped God. But as we might say today, Cain worshipped because he figured he would do God a favor. And how easy it is for us to worship the same way. But Abel worshipped out of faith, a faith that hoped for God's grace and His blessing. And Cain worshipped out of a faith too, but it was a faith that God owed him something. And what was the result? Well, Cain received God's displeasure, and Abel received God's blessing. So much so that Abel through Abel, God gave witness to him that he was righteous, that he was saved. Another example is, of course, Abraham. And he's in the Bible called the father of those who believe. Look at Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, if you will. Let's read those verses, 8 through 10. It says, "By faith Abraham believed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham obeyed God. He lived by faith. And that meant that he lived in a foreign country, a place where he was never raised, a place where he'd never lived. But he lived there, he worked there, and he served God there. Why? This is important because, you see, this is a picture of believers living in this world. Because there is, in a sense, in which this world is a foreign country. And our real country, our real home is the new heaven and earth. So again, why did Abraham live there and work there? Was it to make a name for himself? No. And you know well that that's what others did. You can read about it in Genesis 4 and Genesis 6. About the building of the Tower of Babel. That was to make a name for themselves. And of course, that was the family of Cain who lived that way. But instead, Abraham lived and served God in that foreign land because, as it says in verse 10, which we read, he had such a faith that gave him hope. Hope of a city that would never pass away. It would last forever. And to further explain that, I'd like to read verses 13 through 16 to you. Hebrews 11, 13 to 16. Where it sums up and it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." You see, Abraham, he really believed there was such a thing as that city. God told him about it. And God gave him faith to believe in it. So he hoped for it. And he lived his life in that hope of it. And that means he lived life obediently. As God called him to do this or that. Well, brothers and sisters, there's something very important here in this. Because it shows us so clearly that as we live in this world, our hope is not realized in this world. This present world is passing away. It isn't forever. And that tells us something about our hope. Because, you know, believers, people who call themselves Christians, they have been reacting to this in kind of two extremes. Reacting to the fact, the God-given fact, that this world is not, that our hopes are not realized in this world, sorry. So on the one hand, because they don't like that idea, they get to thinking and teaching that it can all be here and now. And so there will be yet this golden age and so on, and it takes various forms. Or, in a way, the other extreme, since the hope isn't realized in this world, and it will be realized in another world, there are those who get to looking that this world is just, you know, something to almost escape from. Almost as if you try to get through it as fast as possible and you never really enjoy anything in it. You know, after all, this world is not my home, so... And sadly, sometimes it's also a matter of it doesn't even matter how you live. But of course, it matters. True faith is shown in a life that is lived in service to God in this world. And we live and we serve in hope. And that was shown in Abraham. If we are believers, he is, in a sense, our father. He's the father of all true believers. And remember what Romans 4:18 says about Abraham and what it says about his hope. It says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. That doesn't say he believed in hope, but it says, contrary to hope, in his hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations. It was contrary to hope. And you know why? Because Abraham was old. And his wife was too. But he believed in God. He had hope. So God gave Abraham true faith and he hoped, contrary to hope. And God made him the father of many nations. Which of course is the church. All true believers. He was used to bring about the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ and the church, which is made up of those whom God saves from all nations. So Abraham is a God-given example of this faith that works out in hope and lives that way. One more example in Hebrews 11 is verse 22 about Joseph. Verse 22. It says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time, but let's just briefly reflect on the story of Joseph. You know how his brother sold him into the Egyptians, and Joseph was put in prison. And there in prison, he was faithful. He believed God and he lived in hope. And then he was made high. He was exalted. As you know, he was put just under the Pharaoh. And of course, this is all teaching us about Jesus Christ. And we read how God used Joseph to provide for the very same brothers who had hated him. So that in famine, they didn't die because of Joseph. And then later, Joseph, as he is old and he's about to die, he asks that when the people would leave. See, there's faith living in hope. That was sure. When the people would leave that slavery in Egypt, he said they should take his bones, his dead body, and bury it in the land of Canaan, in the land of promise. See, Joseph didn't die in panic and despair. He died in hope. And his hope was in the resurrection of his dead body. That's why he wanted his body, his bones, taken out and buried. In all the Bible, death and burial for believers, yes, it's sorrowful. But because there is true faith, faith that Jesus has redeemed our death too, then there's also a sure hope. A hope even in the resurrection. And yeah, that's the evidence of things not seen, which, Lord willing, we'll see next Sunday. So brothers and sisters, in these examples given to us by God, we see that God gives the kind of faith that is a true faith. And when it is a true faith, His people live in hope, a sure hope. that anchors the soul. No matter what comes, what storms come, there is an anchor. In Abel's life, his hope led him to true worship of God. In Abram's life, his hope led him to obey and serve God in his life while he waited for a more lasting home. In Joseph's life, his hope led him to have comfort even in the time of his death. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, may God give you faith to trust Him. If you trust in yourself, in the government, other people, and on, it will fail. And you will have a vain hope. There is a sure hope that is grounded in true faith. And in true faith, we live life trusting in God. And trusting in God is not, and I'm sure like me you've heard this, I really believe that God will do this or that for me. I believe God will give me this or that. No, trusting in God, living by faith, is knowing this, that God is able and He is willing to do what is good for me. So, brothers and sisters, hope in God and hope in His promises. Remember, He cannot lie. And that's how He will strengthen the hands which hang down. And He will make strong the feeble knees. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You are the God of all mercy. And as we know Your mercy in Christ, fill our hearts with that true faith that rests on the truth of Your Word and upon which our hope may then rest. That we may have a sure hope, that when the storms of life come upon us, we have an anchor. Sustain us, O Lord. Grant us to trust in You and Your promises, to turn away from ourselves and the kind of things that are so easily that we so easily can try to hang on to. And Lord, when we are so weak that we cannot hang on, hold on to us. And give us that confidence that You will do it. And we have nothing to fear. May Your word accomplish the purposes for which You have sent it forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.